Yeah.
It's pretty crazy here in LA right now. I mean, with these
Yeah.
wildfires.
Yeah, it's definitely a really tough situation here. I think a lot of people are shocked that it's happening now
You know,
during our wet season.
yeah, for sure. I
Yeah.
mean, you always think about wildfires in California during the summer, but here we are, it's January, and it feels like the whole city's just kind of holding its breath.
Yeah, and for good reason. We've got these Santa Ana winds going, creating some super dangerous conditions. We're seeing the effects with these three major wildfires burning right now.
Okay, so let's get into the details. So we've got the Palisades Fire, the Eaton Fire,
Yeah.
and the Hearst Fire. Can you give us a sense of where these are all burning and what the impact has been so far?
Yeah, absolutely. So the Palisades Fire, of course, it's burning in Pacific Palisades. It's a really beautiful area, really affluent,
Yeah.
known for its views of the coast and its proximity to the ocean. Tragically, it's already burned all the way down to PCH, you know, Pacific Coast Highway, which is one of the most iconic stretches of road in all of California. Then there's the Eaton Fire. That one's burning near Altadena and Pasadena. Those communities are in the foothills of the San Gabriels. This fire is especially concerning because it's threatening residential areas, and those areas are densely populated, and they're prone to these strong winds.
Right.
And then lastly, there's the Hearst Fire burning in Sylmar. Sylmar is a neighborhood in the northern San Fernando Valley. And Sylmar actually has a history with wildfires, but this one is especially intense, you know? Combined with the winds, it's a really challenging situation for the firefighters.
Yeah, I've seen the reports. And the damage is pretty significant, tragically. There's been loss of life.
Yeah, unfortunately. Across all three fires, over 1,000 structures have been destroyed. It's a devastating loss for families and communities. And it's important to remember, you
Yeah.
know, it's not just buildings. These are people's homes, businesses, people's livelihoods. And sadly, there have been two confirmed fatalities in the Eaton Fire, and a lot of injuries reported too. Both residents who couldn't evacuate in time and the first responders who were battling these fires. It's just heartbreaking, you know, to think about the human toll that this is taking. You keep mentioning these Santa Ana winds, and it seems like they're really the driving force behind how intense these fires are and how fast they're spreading.
Yeah, absolutely. Santa Anas are kind of a unique weather phenomenon here in Southern California. And frankly, they're kind of terrifying. I mean, they're these extremely dry winds. They originate in the Great Basin and the Mojave Desert. And they pick up this incredible speed as they're funneled through these canyons and valleys in our
So
mountains.
it's not just that they're strong winds, they're also super dry,
Yeah.
which is like the worst possible combination for wildfires.
Exactly. They just suck the moisture out of all the
Yeah.
vegetation, turning everything into a tinderbox.
Yeah.
And to make matters worse, we're seeing some of the strongest Santa Ana winds in over a decade. I
I mean,
mean, there have been gusts up to 99 miles per hour recorded near Altadena, which, if you think about it, that's basically the equivalent of a Category 2 hurricane. Wow. That's crazy. I mean, it really puts it into perspective,
Yeah.
you know, why these fires are spreading so quickly and why they're
Yeah.
so hard to contain.
Yeah. And the National Weather Service is taking this really seriously. They've issued these particularly dangerous situation warnings because of these winds. It's rare that they issue those. It's kind of alarming, you know? It's basically a signal that the fire danger is extreme and that we all need to be incredibly vigilant.
You mentioned that these winds are being compared to that windstorm we had back in 2011. Can you remind us about that event and why that comparison is relevant to what we're seeing now?
Yeah. So the 2011 windstorm was one for the record books. I mean,
Yeah.
it caused damage all across the San Gabriel Valley, knocking down trees, power lines, even damaging buildings. And what's concerning is that the current winds are being compared to that event in terms of their strength and their potential to cause disruption.
So we're not just talking about a windy day. We're talking about a potentially historic wind event. That's creating a perfect storm for these wildfires.
Exactly. And these winds are grounding aircraft, making it almost impossible to predict where the fire is going to go next. And they're even carrying burning embers for miles, starting new fires really far from the original blaze. I mean, it's a nightmare scenario for firefighters and a real threat to the communities in the paths of these fires. It's a nightmare scenario for firefighters and a real threat to the communities in the paths of these fires.
Okay, so we've talked about these crazy Santa Ana winds, but it's not just the wind, right? We're also in the middle of a pretty serious drought here in Southern California.
Yeah, absolutely. That's really what's making this whole situation so explosive. We've had a super dry start to our wet season. I mean, to give you an idea, San Diego has only gotten something like 0.14 inches of rain since October, which is just a tiny fraction of what they normally get.
Wow. 0.14 inches. That's barely anything. I can't even imagine how dry it must be out there.
It's incredibly dry. All the vegetation is parched, and all it takes is a tiny spark to start a huge fire.
Right. So you've got this tinderbox landscape ready to burn. And then you add these hurricane-force winds, which are not only making the fires worse, but they're also spreading embers all over the place, starting new fires miles away. Mm. It's a recipe for disaster.
Exactly. And that brings us to this uncomfortable truth that we can't ignore: climate change.
Right. It feels like we're seeing more and more of these extreme weather events, like intense heat waves, droughts, or like in this case, these powerful windstorms. Is there a direct connection between what we're seeing now and climate change?
Well, the connection is becoming more and more clear. Climate change is intensifying what scientists call hydroclimate extremes, meaning we're seeing both more intense droughts and more intense periods of rainfall.
So it's kind of like this weird weather whiplash, where you swing from one extreme to the other.
Exactly. And this kind of variability makes places like Southern California super vulnerable to wildfires. You have these long periods of dryness, which creates the perfect conditions for a fire. And then, when you add in a blast of hot summer weather or strong winds, you get these massive fires.
And what's scary is that we're seeing these conditions during what's supposed to be a wetter, cooler time of year. Makes you wonder if this is the new normal for Southern California.
Well, that's the million-dollar question, isn't it? And it's something that scientists and policymakers are grappling with right now.
So while firefighters are busy battling these current fires, what can we do long-term to reduce the risk of these fires and adapt to this potential new reality?
Well, there are a number of things that need to happen. First and foremost, we need to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. They're driving climate change and contributing to these more extreme weather patterns. That means transitioning to renewable energy sources, reducing our reliance on fossil fuels, and even making changes in our daily lives to reduce our own carbon footprint.
So our individual actions do matter, even when it comes to something as big as climate change.
Absolutely. Every little bit helps. But we also need large-scale policy changes and investments in things like renewable energy infrastructure, sustainable agriculture, and forest management practices that help reduce the risk of these fires.
Speaking of forest management, I know that's been a big topic of debate here in California. What role does forest management play in all of this?
Forest management is incredibly important, especially in places like Southern California, where you have this interface between wildland and urban areas. I mean, we have homes and communities built right next to forests and wild areas. One of the key strategies is controlled burns, which are basically intentionally set fires that help reduce the amount of dry brush and undergrowth that can fuel bigger wildfires.
So it's kind of like fighting fire with fire, but in a controlled and strategic way.
Exactly. It's a practice that indigenous communities have actually been using for centuries to manage the land and prevent catastrophic fires.
That makes a lot of sense. But I imagine it's not easy to do controlled burns.
Yeah.
Especially in areas that are so densely populated.
Yeah. There are definitely logistical and safety concerns that need to be considered, but it's a tool that's becoming more and more important as we face this growing threat of wildfires.
And what about other forest management strategies? Are there any other things being used or considered?
Yeah. There's things like thinning out dense forests, creating fuel breaks, and encouraging homeowners to create defensible spaces around their properties. By clearing brush and vegetation, it's all about reducing the amount of fuel and making it more difficult for fires to spread.
So it's a multi-pronged approach, combining individual responsibility with larger scale land management practices.
Exactly. And it's going to take collaboration from everyone: policymakers, scientists, land managers, and everyday citizens to effectively address this challenge.
We've talked about the impact these fires are having on people who live here, but what about the economic impact? These fires have got to be having a devastating impact on businesses and the overall economy.
Oh, absolutely. The economic toll is huge, and it's multifaceted. You have the immediate costs of firefighting, emergency response, and rebuilding, which can be billions of dollars. But then there are the long-term costs too, like lost tourism revenue, decreased property values, and the disruption of businesses and supply chains.
So it's not just the immediate damage.
Yeah.
But this ripple effect that can last for years.
Exactly. And it's important to remember that these economic impacts often hit those who are already struggling the hardest. You know, low-income communities, small businesses, people who rely on tourism to make a living.
So it makes existing inequalities even worse.
Unfortunately, yes. And it really highlights the need for solutions that are equitable. Solutions that address the immediate needs of those affected by these fires, but also the long-term systemic issues that make certain communities more vulnerable to these kinds of disasters.
You mentioned earlier that the National Weather Service has issued these particularly dangerous situation warnings. Can you explain what those are and what they mean for people in Southern California?
Sure. So these warnings are issued when you have a bunch of extreme weather conditions all happening at the same time that create a really high risk of wildfires. In this case, it's the Santa Ana wines, the low humidity, and the dry vegetation, basically. It means that any little spark, whether it's a downed power line, a carelessly discarded cigarette, or even a car's exhaust, could start a major wildfire.
So it's a sign to be extra careful and take precautions. What should people be doing when these warnings are in effect?
Well, the most important thing is to be aware of your surroundings and stay informed about the fire conditions in your area. You can sign up for emergency alerts from your local government, monitor news reports, and check the National Weather Service website for updates.
So stay informed. What else?
Have an evacuation plan ready, especially if you live in a fire-prone area. Know your evacuation routes, have a go bag packed with essentials, and make sure your family knows what to do if there's an evacuation order.
So being prepared is key.
Absolutely. And there are things you can do to reduce the risk around your home, like clearing brush and vegetation within 100 feet of your house, making sure your gutters are clean, and being super careful with any potential fire sources, like barbecues or machinery.
So it sounds like it takes both individual responsibility and community-wide preparedness to deal with this threat of wildfires.
Exactly. And it's a reminder that we can't just rely on firefighters to protect us. We all have a part to play in reducing this risk and adapting to a future where these kinds of events might happen more often and be more intense.
Okay. So we've covered a lot of ground here, from the immediate danger of these wildfires to the long-term challenge of climate change and what we can do to adapt. Is there anything else in the research you've been doing that's stood out to you? Any surprising details or insights that you think our listeners should know?
You know, one thing I found really interesting is the difference between what's happening in Southern California and what's happening up north. I mean, down here, we're dealing with this record dry spell and these horrible wildfires. But Northern California has been getting tons of rain this winter, thanks to those atmospheric rivers.
Right. You mentioned earlier that Eureka got over 23 inches of rain, while San Diego only got 0.14 inches. It's hard to believe they're in the same state.
Yeah. It really shows how much weather patterns can vary, even within a relatively small area. And it makes you think about how climate change might affect regional rainfall patterns in the future.
So while we're battling drought and wildfires down here, they're dealing with potential flooding and landslides up north. It shows that climate change really does affect different regions in different ways.
Exactly. And it just emphasizes the need for adaptation and mitigation strategies that are tailored to each region. What works in one place might not work somewhere else.
That's a great point. It makes you wonder if there are ways to better manage water resources across the state.
Yeah.
You know, maybe transferring water from areas that have a lot to areas that are really dry.
Yeah. It's a complex issue with a lot of political, economic, and environmental implications, but it's definitely a conversation worth having, especially as we face these growing challenges of a change in climate.
It seems like we keep coming back to this idea of interconnectedness. What happens in one part of the state, or even in one part of the world, can have ripple effects everywhere else.
Absolutely, and that's why it's so important to approach these challenges holistically. We have to recognize how interconnected our environment is and how much we need to work together. We can't just focus on our own backyard. We have to think about the bigger picture.
So it's not just about Southern California or Northern California. It's about all of us working together to understand, adapt, and build a more resilient future in the face of a changing climate.
Absolutely. And that's why it's so important to approach these challenges holistically, you know? We have to recognize how interconnected our environment is and how much we need to work together. We can't just focus on our own backyard. We have to think about the bigger picture.
Yeah. It's easy to feel overwhelmed when you think about how big this problem is. But I also think it's helpful to remember that we're not alone in this. I mean, there are people all over the world working on solutions, and we can all play a part.
Yeah, that's a great point. You know, we often get caught up in the negative side of climate change, but there's some pretty amazing stuff happening too, both with technology and policy. That gives me hope for the future.
So what are some of the things that are making you feel hopeful? What are some of the innovations or solutions that you find particularly exciting?
Well, on the technology side, there's been a lot of progress with renewable energy energy storage, and carbon capture. Those are all really important for reducing emissions.
Right, because we need to not only stop using fossil fuels, but also find ways to get rid of the carbon that's already in the atmosphere.
Exactly. And there are some really promising things happening in that area, like direct air capture, which basically sucks carbon dioxide right out of the air.
That sounds like science fiction.
It does, right. Yeah. But it's becoming a reality. And then when it comes to policy, we're seeing more cities, states, and countries setting ambitious climate goals and investing in solutions.
Like California's plan to use 100% renewable energy by 2045.
Exactly. And the more we see those kinds of commitments, the more pressure it puts on other governments and businesses to do the same.
So there's this sense of momentum building.
Mm-hmm.
Both in terms of technology and political will.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's what gives me hope. We're finally starting to see the kind of collective action that we need to tackle this problem.
So if we were to summarize everything we've discussed, what would you say are the most important things for our listeners to remember about these wildfires and climate change?
Well, I think the first thing is that these wildfires are a tragic reminder of how powerful nature is and the growing risks we face as the climate changes.
It's a wake-up call in a way.
Exactly. And the second thing is that climate change isn't some abstract problem in the future. It's affecting us right now in really serious and devastating ways.
It's no longer a question of if climate change is happening, but how we're going to adapt to the changes that are already happening.
Absolutely. And the third point, and maybe the most important, is that we can make a difference. We can take action to reduce these risks and build a better future, both as individuals and as a society.
It's not a time to give up, but a time to take action.
Exactly. We need to stay informed, get involved in our communities, support policies that address climate change, and make changes in our own lives to reduce our impact.
It might seem overwhelming, but even small actions can add up and make a difference.
Absolutely. And I think the more we can connect with each other, share information, and support each other, the more successful we'll be.
So it's about individual action, collective action, and fostering a sense of hope and community.
Exactly. We're all in this together, and together we can create a better future.
Well, thanks for joining us for this deep dive into the wildfires in Southern California and the bigger issue of climate change. We hope this has been informative, thought-provoking, and maybe even a little inspiring.
My pleasure. And to all our listeners, please stay safe, stay informed, and stay involved. We can make the future we want, and it all starts with each of us taking action.
Until next time, stay curious and keep exploring the world around you with a critical and compassionate eye.